every feast day that we celebrate, in a sense, what we are doing by the celebration of that feast is we're tearing off some more scales that are over our eyes that have prevented us from seeing. In another sense, what we're doing is we're looking into a mirror, and every celebration, every day we meet, every circumstance that you're confronted with, every weakness that you're confronted with in self, where then you can turn from self, you are ripping the back, the silver oxide off the back of the mirror, so that you can begin to see no longer at, you know, how everything is a reflection of you, because the silver is off the mirror and you see through every situation, so the I motive is beyond your comprehension. Now, remember I've told you from the very beginning that the first process that we go through is that you stop being a respecter of persons. Now, for most of you, you've stopped being respecters of persons. And then you stop being respecters of circumstances. And for most of you, you've stopped being a respecter of circumstances, and fundamentally from your anchor position. I mean, you've seen through the vanity of the circumstances. Now, the last battle is that you are no longer a respecter of thoughts. Now, through the high place process, you've been empowered now to no longer be a respecter of thoughts. You don't know that yet. Because you still, see, remember the scripture that we all used? I can't believe no one ever pushed me on it. Because the scripture that was used as the basis for the groves and the high place and the false identity and your high place identity was the one that said, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalted itself against the... No, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, well, we only did one of those things. We cast down the high places. Now, how do you cast down imaginations? How do you, and what does it truly mean? And what does it truly mean to bring every thought captivity to the obedience of Christ? No, a bottle in front of me. Shut up, Joyce. Mind control. Does anybody?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that anymore.
Okay. Okay.
About what imagination
it can't be mind control.
What's going on?
Okay, now.
Really, Josiana's got to get the plumbing fixed.
Now, the real promises of God, remember, hear me. I've said this to you ever since we began. The promises of God or your life is no longer yea and nay, but all the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen. You've been whipped around, you know, like a weeping willow in the wind. And you are... or cork in the ocean or something. You're carried about by every wind and wave of impulse that where it lies in wait, ready to deceive. And every time somebody looks at you cross-eyed or something doesn't go your way, your wife gets mad or you get mad at your husband or some other crap happens, you respond to those stimuli in the same way that the Gentile mind does, the same way the world does. Why? Because you've not yet begun to cast down the imaginations. And now we are going to see, over the next period of time, a different level of the understanding of what the Feast of Rosh Hashanah means. It means that He is not just born in you as a flesh and body vehicle. It means that He is born in your mind, and now the government is on His shoulders, no longer in yours. And now, as Paul, I can say, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you, in this arena. Now, what we are about to undertake is the most difficult, the most taxing, the steepest of all paths that we have yet traveled.
No longer smile.
You can't use the bear hunting with a switch.
No, we're bear hunting with, we're beast hunting.
Okay.
With the power of God. We're going to take that beast, that image, that thing, who was wounded in the head yet was raised from the dead, and we're going to stop touching the dead body.
Move.
The first thing I want you to see, the first thing I want you to see is how totally and completely your mind is under, or has been under, the law. The first thing that happens when you're confronted with a stimulus is that you attempt, by whatever means available to you, to solve the problem by law, either for yourself or someone else. Now, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. The law. The fact that you've lived under cause and effect in every arena of your mind and in every arena of your being has been there by God, because it was added because of transgression to make the strength of sin apparent. The strength of sin is the law. You're confronted with a stimulus, your immediate response is to try to figure out what to do about it. You do it automatically in your mind. Now we're going to learn a new way of living. What?
Is being confronted with a situation and saying to yourself, okay, all I got to do is turn from self. Is that even an example of this?
Well, yeah, but that's what it's like. It's see, any, all of those situations are childlike things. You know, I mean, don't worry about it. You'll do it.
Sure.
Until you no longer do it. You play with. I mean, those are all the childish things. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I acted as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. The law, then, is a childish thing in this context. Okay, now listen. Is the law, then, against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which should have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given, again, freely, given freely, with no effort on your part, to them that believe. But before faith comes, or is come, in every area, we are kept under the law. If you didn't have, as I told you before, if you didn't have your high place identity, if you hadn't had your grove identities, if you hadn't had the way of thinking that all of you have learned, none of it's right, but if you hadn't had that way of thinking, you couldn't have survived up until this point. Now, how do I know it's the point?
Because I know.
Because I know. Yourself saying it's the
point. How do I know it's the point to put it away? Because I say it is.
Amen.
We're going to start doing this to you all.
So.
Try it. Okay, listen now.
It's a law.
But before faith came or come, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, or is our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, And again, the implication is that you would be brought unto Christ in the fullness of Him. Till we all come in the unity of faith unto the fullness, the full apprehension of who it is that we have dealings with. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Remember, the element of Rosh Hashanah is that you hear the law, you say, oh shit, you cry and mourn a lot. And then somebody comes along and says, grieving and mourning is not permitted, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I just want you to feel what's set before you. There's a whole new way of living that's set right here. It's right here. It's available. All you have to do is apprehend it.
So that your strength is the joy of the Lord, as opposed to your strength was the law.
Your strength was your ability to compute or calculate or solve problems or not solve problems. Some of your strength is negative strength. You love to mourn. Oh my God, I'm such a poor.
And that is replaced by the joy.
The joy of the Lord. Remember, I've told you, we have the tangible asset, the tangible phenomenon of what we're about is joy. But it's not cheap. It's the same process of raising that stupid baby. Stupid baby. It's a stupid baby. It doesn't know anything. Oh no, it's a child of God. Right.
I like the term innocent baby.
Okay, listen. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay, now, you don't know that yet. Your mind hasn't fully apprehended the fact that you have put on Christ. Remember, our process is that you would be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Renewing, the word is that anakinesis, which means a gradual conforming to that which was, is, and always will be. Your only function in life is to know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose. That the only thing that's of merit, the only thing, period, that's taking place in your life is that you're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's all. Whosoever is counted worthy to enter into the kingdom of God neither are married nor are given in marriage. So therefore your marriage, the fact that some of you are allegedly married has no more meaning than that some of you are allegedly not married. The marriage function is to show forth the praises of Him who is to come. The child's function is that we might see the process. The difficulties in a marriage. The difficulties. Oh my God, you get so righteous. I love it when you get righteous. Boy, you're so easy to chop into pieces when you get righteous.
You love to chop us into pieces.
That's the...
What was this about putting us into a mix master?
What is this bleeding of the sheep I hear in my ears? All right. Now,
so what's your point?
For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You haven't apprehended what that means yet, but that's all right.
When you said that about marriage, and that too, that it's like those identities, I'm married, I'm a male. Those are just like the rest of the law. They serve until...
seed should come.
Yeah, until you no longer need that boundary.
Right. They're childish things.
Yeah.
But they're not to be despised. Okay.
Still buy your clothes in the men's department.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one. But you can't possibly be one if you have any other identity than the one in your mind.
It never made sense when you spoke. You know, and I can remember getting so offended in some of those places, but you're not married. You know, or you just think you're married, or you're, you know, it's a lie, and I get so hurt about that.
Okay. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs, full heirs, according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now remember, the word time appointed means feast day. For you, the time appointed is Rosh Hashanah. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you fully in this arena, in your mind. But is under tutors and governors. You've been under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now, how do I know it's time? Because it's the feast day. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements, the principles of the world. You couldn't have lived had you not been in bondage to the principles. You wouldn't have survived. But when the fullness of time is come. Every time you see that phrase in the scriptures, it means a feast day. When the fullness of time is come, you are no longer. God sends forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the full adoption of sons. Now, this is in every arena of your life. It's repeated. That's why the process is repeated. It's not that it's not finished. We don't say there are yet 4 months under the harvest. We say it's now. It's finished. We see him completely. But we know in time that we must be tested, and we know the testing is completed, and it's completed in a mystery way by the fullness of time, by the time appointed to the Father, by the appointed time. The appointed time is the Hebrew, is the Greek word, which means festival in the Hebrew language. Moed. That's why it says the festivals are to be celebrated until the end of time. That's why modern religion has lost the fullness, because they've abandoned the feasts. And therefore they can't know the fullness of time, the appointed time. Because you are sons, the word is just means children, it's not a sexual word. Because you are children, because you know now totally and completely who your Father is, in every domain, God sends forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy. There's never again. You now are now known of God in a position of intimacy in which you can call him Daddy. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then? Now it comes, that's the good news. How be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. You did service. Why? Every time you were confronted with a stimulus, you computed it according to the principles of the world, of how to solve the problem. And I don't care whether it's technical, spiritual, by every arena of your life, when you're confronted with something, you sit down and figure out what to do about it next. God says he's got a new, different thing to do. He says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, it shall be done for you. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you. Because why? Because the Antichrist, the beast, has been overcome. And that moment between thought, word, and deed is no longer interfaced by doubt. Because this Antichrist, the Gentile mind, the vanity of operating in that realm, has been bruised deadly. It's an incurable wound. It's dying. It's already dead, but it's giving its last gasp. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, I'm perfect from the moment that he sees me, as John's song says, how that turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? And the weak and beggarly elements are the elements of the Gentile mind, of problem solving.
I had an image of it. It's like we have a rocket, and problem solving we're doing is like putting unleaded gasoline into your rocket and
Amen.
Sputter along a little bit. There's all this rocket. You have all this rocket fuel, right?
Amen. Now we're about to take off at warp speed. That's good. Okay, now.
Blessing on Brother Louis.
We're going to look at something we've never studied before, because I've been waiting to study this. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast.
What does it mean there, wonder?
It doesn't mean what Hal Lindsey says it means, that John Kennedy is in a... Wait, no, not Hal Lindsey. It doesn't mean there's going to be a physical wound. It means that Christ has overcome, has bruised, has killed off the head of Satan. But he is raised from the dead in you as though he had been healed.
A false resurrection.
A false resurrection. No. And all the world wondered after that beast. Well, let's tell me what they're doing. All the world is wondering after this beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. Everybody in the world is worshiping the dragon which gave power unto the beast. They don't know they are.
Like on the Oprah Winfrey show the other day, they were talking about Satan worshippers, and yes, this actually does happen.
Okay, now listen. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Everybody in the world. Huh?
How can I get out of my head? How can I stop?
Well, just wait until you see the fullness of chapter 13. But and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So we'll get into all those technical things later, but that's a definitive mystery schedule in the scriptures, 42 months.
Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I'm 42.
It exactly has to. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. That's all a beast does. Because he blasphemes the completedness of our permanent residence, which is the New Jerusalem. He blasphemes by his doubt, by his unbelief, the finishedness of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? This is one of those things I've been waiting 10 years to talk about. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. For time, until the time appointed of the Father. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations.
Wow.
Do you understand it? You remember the discussion we had about this 9 years ago in the car?
I'm not sure.
I remember it. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's so simple.
Yeah,
if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience or persistence and faith of the saints. Now, there's all kinds of stuff, and we get into number 666 and all that. You all know what I'm going to say about that anyway. So, I want us to see, and I want you to have an anticipation of what's about to happen on this feast of Rosh Hashanah and subsequent days, that we are now going to battle.
So this is just incredible. I can't remember ever hearing you, really believing, calling forth the time, and say, and believing this is an appointed time. We're being talked to on a
different level,
different place, and it's even reading Revelation. It's like something that's been held to you come of age or something. It's just, wow.
It's so clear, I can't stand it.
When you just said we're going to battle, what zapped up here was, I've always thought about, this must have been like for 40 guys to go out and do battle with 4,000 giants all the time. I mean, weren't they scared all the time? But when you said we're going forth in the battle, it was like there's no question that we're on the offense.
There's no question that we've won.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, let's go have some fun.
Now, war is fun.
War is fun.
So now you see what we're doing. We have gone to this thing with, we've seen groves, we've seen high place identities. Now we can cast down imaginations so that you can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that means that you then now can have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, who can say to that mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done for you. But you couldn't be given that power when you were still a child, or you'd have screwed up everything. You didn't know who you were. Now the birth of Christ in you, in this arena, which we're celebrating on Rosh Hashanah, which we're making a step of faith by saying from the Exodus that you have, by appointing you as elders and out, I've taken my staff in hand and put my sandals in my feet and my loins are girded. You understand? So when we take the afkumen, with that in mind, then the empowerment for its completeness, for the total renewal of your mind, is set before us. And as sure as it's going to raise, there's no question. And now you can look forward to the point where whatsoever you say shall be done for you, because your thought and your word will not be in conflict. Father, Son, Spirit does the stuff. And the Spirit does it a whole lot better than you do. Now, whatsoever, now you can sow to the Spirit. And you will of the Spirit reap life. You don't have to sow to the flesh, to the senses any longer. You don't have to make plans to sow plans and stuff. You can speak it into existence. You can take that which was nothing and bring it into something. That's the heritage of the saints in light. You don't have to be bounced to and fro by this enemy that has raised himself from the dead falsely any longer. Warp speed again.
Once in a while, enormity of what's happening here is I see it just in glimpses, and I can't even handle what's going on here, much less the glory of God, the full fullness of it. So.
Now you see why you are the most fortunate of all people that have ever lived.
Amen.
That angels for centuries have desired to look into the things which we look into routinely and were not permitted. That all science, all philosophy, all everything has desired to look into these things and are not able.
It's so subtle that, you know, the beast, everybody's looking for the beast out there. It's like we all come equipped with the beast.
Do you do it yourself?
All the options.
What's the scripture about the gates of hell
shall not prevail. That's
it's like the gates of hell is the counterparts of the gates of Jerusalem. You go out to the exiting Jerusalem somehow is entering hell. You come against it right outside.
Now, every time your mind starts to play tricks on you, you can do, now, when you say, oh, this person's doing this, or this person's doing that, or this is doing this, or this. The Holy Spirit's life, and the life of the walk of the Spirit, takes place only inside the New Jerusalem. Every time your mind lies to you, you know, if you want to go, read the Psalms of Ascent. Get back in there. And for those of you who are about to be teachers, never respond to someone's sensory perception. You know, you can do it every once in a while, but God will forgive you. And for those of you, again, I was thinking of Darlene, you don't have to respond. The things that are happening between you and Tom are happening so that we can see. Doesn't have anything to do with you. So, again, the end result of all of the stuff and all of the feasts is please stop taking yourselves seriously. Can everybody grasp what I've said tonight a little bit? This is why it says that my role has been in patience, teach those that oppose themselves.
I hear you, you know, this is scripture, and I hear you quote it, and I think it's too perfect, it's too clear, it's so, I can understand it so clearly, you must be paraphrasing, you must be targeting me. No, it can't be written that plain.
What is it?
Yeah. I think it's 2 Timothy 2:25, but let me look. It happens to be.
Can't help
right. It says in meekness, instructing those to oppose themselves.
That's just wild that you read out of
Revelation.
That's just, I've never heard, you know, I always hated it when you read it before. I hate it. I call it reservations.
Yeah. Reservation.
What were we saying?
Many reservations.
Harry, what were we calling it the other day? John, something of John.
The Reveler. John the Reveler.
John the Reveler and seven trained seals.
Trade seal act.
Okay, we'll be at at the Rutledge's at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
BYOW.
Everybody, the menus.
The Lord wills and the
menus, so everybody knows what they're doing and bringing and stuff.
Make sure you take a shower, please. We had planned on having group shower in the Rutledge's and shower so we'd all have revelation. Okay. Well, that would work really
good. It's a great gang show.
Would you make sure that those that weren't here tonight, and including Darlene, get a copy of the tape?
Played over and over.
And then, oh, Harry's going to start putting the sound of waves as the background music for all the tapes.
No, but I do have a plan. As soon as we get moving, we are going to put a little surprise at the end of each tape. It's like the little toy in the Cracker Jacks. You have to listen to the whole tape before you can find out what the surprise is each night.
Treasure hunt. Please think on these things.
Yeah. Are we going to study some more of Revelation 13?
Mm-hmm. A lot more. A lot more of 2 Corinthians 10. I can go find out whether Revelation really means that. I was talking about a computer over there or Henry Kissinger.
The
first thing you have to understand is you're the beast, and you're the Antichrist, and you have the manifestation of the 10 horns and the 7 heads. That's you. It's not some thing that's going to come out of Europe.
Our ancestors came out of Europe. I believe read that, and
it was just like, there was any...
Yeah.
It was just...
Oh, yeah, that's it.
I never heard it.
It's like even the damnation. Like, our culture comes out of Europe, right? So, like, everything is taken to self, even the damnation. You know what I mean? They find some way to find glory in Europe because the beast is the unity of the common market. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're Satan and proud of it.
Well, it's like, I mean, it's even our history is based on, you know, the supremacy of, you know, the Greco-Roman cultures as being supreme. That's been bullshit. You know, I mean, it's just every our view of the world is so skewered because first of all, the Roman Catholic Church has skewered everything, but so has the whole Western world. It's skewered our view of life.
It's skewed.
Yeah.
Skewered, I like it better. Skewered, like on a... Anybody have anything else? Look forward to Rosh Hashanah. Take it, big guy. It's not my birthday.
Sure.
Manana, manana.